Hi, everybody. This is Blake Ruby, the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, Church of the Soul's Evolution. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with religion. However, religion should be used as a stepping stone, because what matters most is spiritual development in your evolution. And that's what I like to talk about in my show. I've got one hour to talk about all the things that are near and dear to my heart, that I'm passionate about. And I've been doing a lot of thinking since the last show. I think of all these good ideas to talk about when the time comes. And I really do appreciate DBS Radio for giving me this opportunity to talk for an hour and know that I have an audience out there. I don't know how many people listen exactly, but I know internet radio has spread all throughout the world, so people could be listening in, not only in the United States, but different countries too. And I watch a lot of TV myself, so I'm interested in people. I'm a people person. I like studying people's behavior, listening to what they've got to say. I go to church on Sunday, and I hear them talk about the Bible, and I'm all for that, because I know, even though I don't agree with everything, and that's always the point of contention with some people, they say, you mean to tell me you don't believe in all of the Bible? No, I believe in most of it, but not all of it. Why? Why is that? Because some things don't just pass the logic test for me, and I'm a logical person. I'm 68 years old. I am a well-read person. I can write very well also. I was an administrative non-commissioned officer specialist in the Army, so that's what I did. I wrote, and I consider myself a Christian, so I've been more concerned with studying the Christian religion than the other religions out there, although I think they're all great. It's better to have a religion than not have one at all, you know what I'm saying? For the non-believers in God, the atheists, the agnostics out there, all I can say is that I think, in my opinion, which I'm entitled to, they're going to be in for a rude awakening at the time when they realize they're not invincible, not invulnerable, and they pass over to the other side, which happens so often. I read something recently that said a lot of people nowadays are passing away and going to a dark plane, going to different levels of darkness. It's not good. Because we all pride ourselves on our intelligence, don't we? And there's nothing worse to say, if only I had known, if only I had done that, or if I could have done that, or should have done that, why didn't I do that? But then it's too late, you know? Near-death experiences are one area of interest which I've been studying for many years, dating back to 1992, as a matter of fact. And the very first book I picked up was Betty Eady, E-A-D-I-E's book called Embraced by the Light. It is supposedly the most complete and profound near-death experience that you'll ever read. And it got me on the path to studying more near-death experiences and seeing what they're all about. And one thing, as an observer, reading these stories and trying to change my own life, to develop myself spiritually, to increase the light in my soul, to increase the knowledge that I have about spirituality, is that it really affects people's lives. You can see the changes in their lives, and that's not what you would call comparative to someone. You can't really compare that with someone who would be doing that just for fun, you know, to make money or to achieve fame of some sort. And usually these people receive the opposite of fame and fortune. They are ridiculed by their friends and their peers. So it's quite a gamble to come out of the closet, so to speak, and talk about their near-death experiences. But more and more people are doing it. Every day you can go on YouTube and see all these really exceptionally made videos of people who have had near-death experiences, people who have been in car accidents, which happened all the time, you know. and also drownings and people shot, stabbed, and people who have been sick or ill, who have had surgery of some sort or another, and during the surgery they almost flatlined, or they did flatline, and then came back with a story to tell. How can we ignore, as rational, logical human beings who pride ourselves on our intelligence, and every single human being who likes themselves also has to pride themselves on their intelligence? And it's a fact that each day that goes by, we get more and more intelligent. We get more and more wiser. As we grow older, we get wiser. And we just can't ignore what these people are saying, especially since they share so many similar characteristics. You know, these near-death experiences they talk about, leaving their body, popping out of their body through their chest or the top of their head, and looking down on their body, whether it's in a hospital room where the doctor is working feverishly around them, trying to resuscitate them. Or maybe it'll be in the confinement in the area of their own bedroom or wherever, you know, at a car accident scene. Like Lou Famoso's accident. That's a pretty cool name, easy for you to remember. Famoso, if you want to check it out, F-A-M-O-S-O, a Vietnam veteran who served two tours over there in Vietnam. He might have been with the Navy on a ship that was touring the coast, you know, at that time. He also landed. He might have seen some combat. I can't remember. But anyway, he came back to the United States after his two tours. He had a little extra money, right? So he bought himself a brand new 1964 Mustang. He was going to a party on a Saturday night, going down a country road, not well paved, but a lot of bumps, you know. If you're not familiar with the 64, 65, 66 Mustang, they were very front end heavy because they had the engine and not much else in the rear, you know. So when you start going at high speeds, then it lost a lot of stability in the front. And so after hitting a couple of bumps, the front end nosedived into the pavement and flipped end over end several times, landed on the side of the road, burst into flames. He was thrown from the car. He had a gaping head wound. Fortunately, some friends of his who were going to the same party, some women, drove by, saw the accident, picked him up, put him in the back of the car, took him to a local hospital, and he had his near-death experience. But before that, actually, he had popped out of his body. He said there was two of him. Me that was looking at my body down on the ground at the accident scene, also in the back of the car, kind of like floating above it, while they were taking him to the hospital also. And then he had the near-death experience of, not like most, like Betty Eady did, where she went down a tunnel, and you hear about it so often. My wife had a near-death experience where she went down, was going down a tunnel, and she heard a voice saying it's not her time. And that's what a lot of people hear, too. It's not their time. But Lou Famoso had a face-to-face encounter with God, the creator. He found himself in this heavenly domain, this heavenly realm, very brightly colored and with a lot of light, more light than here on Earth. And he said he saw this orb of golden light coming towards him, and it was radiating such intense light. At first it looked like a billiard ball, and then it increased in size to about the size of a basketball, and then the size of a beach ball. And then it transformed into this beautiful being of light right in front of his eyes, about twice the height of an average man. And he realized he was in the presence of God, the Creator. And one of the things that God, I'll tell you both of these two things that really stayed in my memory about what he said God told him. One is that man will prey on man. I mentioned this in my last show and other shows too in the past. No, not every show, but this last show, I said it, and also this time, it's something that we should internalize, especially if you're a prayer warrior like I am. Hello, all you prayer warriors out there, remember that this is what God said, and you can't really refute this, you know. Why would somebody make this up? It just doesn't make sense. It's not logical. God told him that man will pray, P-R-E-Y, on man until man learns to pray for man. And case in point, the war in Ukraine and all the wars we've had in our past throughout the centuries, one war after another. And why is that? Because we're not praying for each other. But you see more and more each day now, people are praying for each other, and that's something we need to continue to do. All kinds of prayers. There's a prayer for every need, my friends. Hope for each new day. And we are, believe it or not, we're hardwired to pray. It's okay. I know it sometimes it's a little bit difficult to pray in certain situations, especially if you're in a hurry. You're at the workplace. People are around. You can whisper a prayer. You can write your prayers down. The main thing is that you can pray anytime you want. You can take it. We're depending on you. The world is depending on you to pray. We need you to be a prayer warrior too, because things change. Take it from me. I promise you, I tell you no lie, that prayers change things. I've seen it over and over again in my prayer life. I've seen how God answers my prayers. The Creator answers my prayers. Not always. Like right now, I've got a prayer in there asking God if he could help me win the lottery. Sure, could use an extra little bit of money. I'm blessed. I recognize that. I'm very grateful to God for my blessings. But we're in this house here. I've got six of us all together. I've got my wife, my stepdaughter, and three grandchildren. Now, don't start with me about they should be on their own, and my stepdaughter should be out there. She's 52 years old looking for a job. We've been through that many, many times before in the past. And she does have a job that she works during the year at the election polls. Like next month, she'll do 2 weeks in the early voting. And she's a really good worker, too. I've seen her. And other than that, and also in May, they have elections here in San Antonio. So she'll go. She might do the early voting for that election also. And then the day of the election. And then in November, you know, the 6th of November, first Tuesday of November, she'll also work the polls like my wife does. My wife is retired an Army civilian, retired. She did 28 years. So she gets her pension, but she supplements her income by doing that as well. And they make 15, 16, 17 bucks an hour. So anyway, I pray to God that, God, could I win the lottery, please? You know, I sure could use the extra money to buy a new house. It would be so nice. But then I think of all the people that don't have as much as I have, and I feel bad for that. You know, it's too bad that maybe we shouldn't be. I don't advocate socialism, but I kind of support the idea. I can see both sides of the coin, if you know what I mean. I like for us to have a free society, you know, capitalism, where we can make as much money as we want, but I don't like the fact that a lot of people are poor and starving, and there's a lot of homeless people out there. I think we need to look after each other. It's a shame we can't have a society where, you know, everyone has a nice house to live in. They have enough food on the table. There's a time each year where they can go to a nice resort area and spend a couple of weeks on the beach. And then also give things to people, the sharing of items, like if you need some sugar or flour, come on over to my house, help yourself. You know, you need some meat, we got some meat to give you. You need some cereal, we can give you cereal, whatever you need. We should be sharing what we have. And I'm okay for that. You know, I'm all right with that. But unfortunately, it's not quite that way. You know, in Africa, our brothers and sisters and spirits over there, the young black children, you've seen them on TV, you know, UNICEF, other charity organizations, there's children dying each day. I don't know what the numbers are, but probably hundreds of thousands dying each day. for starvation, you know, for lack of food, because they're so poor. They're dirt poor, you know. So I'm very grateful. But God has also said that he wants us to be blessed immeasurably, and God wants to heap the blessings on us. So I thought, well, why not pray to win the lottery, you know? And heck, I don't even need, excuse me, that's not a swear word. I don't even need to win Mega Millions or Powerball, just a Texas lottery, $5-6 million, you know. All I wanted is to buy a new house, you know. That would be great. And then I could quit working. I'm 68 right now. The way it looks, I'm going to probably keep working until I die. I look after my granddaughter. She's 13, you know, and she needs this and she needs that. And she's in high school. She's playing volleyball. She's a soccer star. She is, what else did she play? A track and field star. She won the 100-meter and the 200-meter run. She's extremely fast. I knew she was fast when we went out walking the dogs a few years ago. And she was like maybe 8-9 years old at the time. And I've been working on my sprinting. Today, in fact, I went to the track on Lackland Air Force Base. And I was doing, this is my new exercise routine. And I highly recommend it for anybody out there that wants to lose weight, make themselves neat and trim, exercise their heart and their lungs, you know. I went to the track, but first I parked my car about half a mile away next to the gym there on Lackland Air Force Base. And I walked nice and slowly, smelling the roses, breathing through my nose to the track about half a mile away. And then I did what I've done it quite a few times, but now I'm going to stick with it because I think it's working. I feel the difference. I've lost like 20 pounds. I can't believe it. I was 165 just a couple of weeks ago. Now it's 141 today. And that helps with my sleep apnea, too, you know. And I'll tell you something else, but let me just finish my thought there. So I do running, sprinting forwards. And I know I lose track sometimes. And please forgive me. I know you enjoy listening to me. And I do lose track. And I try to get back to what I was saying. So I sprint forwards at about 75 meters, and I walk back nice and slowly, and then I do a backward sprinting because you utilize certain muscles in the body with backward sprinting that you don't with forward sprinting. So, like, case in point, football players, you see how good they are? They're really incredible physical specimens because they learn how to sprint forwards and backwards. And there's actually, if you do a little research on the internet, there are many backward running groups. There's even a guy, he holds the fastest time for a mile run backwards, like 5 minutes and some seconds. And it's been found that when you do too much forwards running, it can put a lot of stress on the knees and on the back. But when you do backwards running, in fact, it's recommended by some doctors to rehabilitate some athletes from injuries from too much forward running. And so I did 4 75-meter runs frontwards and backwards. But anyway, so what I was getting back to what I was saying, I've been doing a lot of sprinting over the last 4 or 5 years. And my granddaughter, who was 8-9 years old when we went and walked the dogs, I raced her. And she was like right there next to me, you know, and I'm going full speed. And I was, wow, this girl is fast. Anyway, so she's doing well at school, and so I'm helping to support my family here. And we live in a house that's very adequate, you know. I paid $142,000 for it back in 2010. 3-bedroom, 2.5-bathroom, 2-story, 1-car garage. And then when I first moved in here in 2010, I was by myself, and then I got married to my wife in 2011. And, well, not surprisingly, my stepdaughter and her grandchildren joined us that year in November. And it's a long story. I don't want to bore you. Suffice it to say, we're getting along now very well. And I respect them for being souls, you know, on their journey, in their own soul's evolutionary journey, as we all are, right? We're all souls out there, right? Everybody's a soul. Everybody has a certain amount of light in their soul. My soul shines with about 100-watt bulb. Now, if your soul shines with about a 80-watt bulb, there's no need to feel bad about that. It just means that, hey, I probably have more past lives than you, you know? Or maybe I was fortunate enough to have my mother put me on the right path in this life and get away from drinking and smoking. I was talking with Doug, and he's given up the habit of smoking, and I gave it up too. And that's a good thing because, you know, you can be healthier. You can, your body will actually heal. As we sleep at night, as we sleep, our body heals. And during the day, too, if you give up, like, smoking or alcohol or any bad vices, any vices that might be harmful to your body, you know, then your body can heal and you'll feel better. And you can, you might have, I might have taken some years off my life, you know, but you can still be a ripe old age of 80-something, maybe. Like my parents, they smoked and drank their whole lives and lived to be 81. Go figure. But because they were a good breed, good caliber, you know, because we had an uncle who lived to be 108 one time. And so they could have probably lived to be 100. You know, Mom was born in 1917, Dad in 1918. So, and that's now, it would have been, Mom would have been 105. Dad would have been 104. It's possible, you know. It all depends. Don't let this world drag you down. You know, what's that song? Don't let this world get the best of you. I'm trying to think of it. Don't let the world, don't let it bring you down. Oh, yeah, that's one. I got to sing this song for you because I like it. It's called, I just want to celebrate. I just want to celebrate. Put my faith in the people. But the people let me down. So I turned the other way and I carried on anyhow. That's why I'm telling you. I just want to celebrate. Yeah, yeah. Another day of living. Yeah. I just want to celebrate another day of living. I just want to celebrate another day of life. Don't let it all get you down, oh no. Don't let it turn you around and around and around and around. Well, I had my hand on a dollar bill, but the dollar bill blew away. But the sun is shining down on me, and it's here to stay, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm telling you. I just want to celebrate, yeah, yeah. Another day of living, yeah. I just want to celebrate another day of living. I just want to celebrate another day of life. Don't let it all get you down, oh no. Don't let it turn you around and around and around and around and around. So, my friends, the point is, don't let life get you down. You know, there's, you're thinking of suicide or something like that. Oh no, please don't. Don't throw in the towel. Come on, man, you're a fighter. Anybody out there? I contemplated suicide one time. I tried to take my life one time. You didn't know that about me, did you? I hope that doesn't change your mind about me. Hey, does that change your mind about me? Well, don't let it, because back then I was drinking alcohol. You know what I'm saying? And when you drink alcohol, you do all kinds of crazy things, especially when you can't control it. Now, those people that drink in moderation, for those people, it's cool, you know? I think if you drink a drink a day or maybe one or two a day, it can actually help your health, I think. A glass of wine, they say. Look at all those people in Europe that drink wine with their food, the Italians, other countries in Europe. And they live to be ripe old ages. Why? Because it's good for them. And they don't let the alcohol, you know, they don't intake too much alcohol, in other words. And so they don't get drunk, or they don't get blind drunk. But me, when I used to drink, I used to get blind drunk. But let me not go into that, because I don't want to knock myself too badly. I'm still alive today, and I'm very grateful for that. I kicked the habit. But if you know, alcohol will make you do crazy things. And me, I grew up with parents who were alcoholics, you know. So I kind of broke that generational curse, if you will. You hear what I'm saying, people? I broke the curse. Now, I love my parents. I realize they're over there in the spirit land somewhere, in the spirit world, hopefully in heaven. I don't think they went to the other place, you know. And I love them, and I'm saying right now, Mom and Dad, wherever you are in heaven, I hope you're continuing on with your spiritual development in that lovely place called heaven, where there's light everywhere, there's no darkness, and everything is more intense, the colors are more intense. There's roads paved with gold, there's silver everywhere, there's precious gems and jewels everywhere, there's angels everywhere, people that lived on earth, all cultures, they're walking around, they're happy, they're joyful, they don't have bodily functions, they don't have to sleep. That's a recipe for happiness, my friends. No bodily functions, like, man, you don't have to go to the bathroom, number one, number two. Isn't that cool? Every few hours as a spirit. Now, don't tell me you don't believe that you have a spirit in your body, okay? That's wrong. Those of you that don't believe you have a spirit in your body, you're wrong, and you know it. Come on now. That's one prerequisite to ascend that ladder of spirituality, is to recognize that you have a spirit in your body. How do you think you dream at night? Your spirit leaves the body and it goes to places, maybe in our solar system. It travels in time, forwards and backwards. You know, ever remembered a dream? Can you remember one dream? Well, you had your eyes closed. So how can you remember? How can you see in a dream if you have your eyes closed, right? That's the spirit, my friend. Come on. That's irrefutable logic. Anyway. So my parents are there in heaven, I hope, you know. And there's buildings there. There's all kinds of beautiful, well-constructed buildings, because they're in heaven, not like here on earth. Buildings are constructed by the power of thought. Believe it or not, you'll find out for yourself. I guarantee it. I'll tell you the truth. That's right. By thought. The universe actually, I think Einstein said, and that was one smart man, right? The universe is one giant intelligent thought, my friends. And when you start talking about these extraterrestrials who travel interdimensionally to get here from thousands and maybe millions of light years away in other galaxies out there, they do it by transitioning from one dimension to the other, or in other words, from the physical dimension to the non-physical dimension, the spiritual dimension. And there's a method of doing that without going into the details, but suffice it to say they can travel around the universe in very quick fashion that way. So they can go from A to B. Let's say they want to travel from the Andromeda Galaxy to planet Earth. They get going in their spaceship. They go interdimensional. They're like a thought traveling millions of light years. I think the Andromeda Galaxy is millions of light years away. And they pop back into the physical dimension somewhere around the beginning of our solar system out there, maybe a billion miles away. And then they pump those anti-gravity propulsion engines up to close to light speed, and they get here to Earth in about maybe a few hours, you know? Not all the way to light speed, but close to it. So then they get here, and as they've done before in the past, interacted with us. They're out there, you know. Now, as I mentioned before, we pride ourselves on our intelligence, right? Well, any intelligent person like Einstein was, and Einstein knew without a shadow of a doubt, you can check it out on the internet if you don't believe me, that the universe is teeming with life, my friends. So if you pride yourselves on your intelligence, you have to adopt that way of thinking, that the universe is actually teeming with life. And the problem is us, because we're behind the power curve. They're all looking at us like, what the heck, without using another bad word, is wrong with you people, you know, and your evolution? It's taken so long. I mean, we could have made contact with y'all in 2010. Everything was planned. The wheels were in motion, my friend, for us to make contact with extraterrestrials in 2010. And as I mentioned last week, they would have shared their technology. We could have been star travelers. Anybody out there has a feeling of exploration like I do? You know, people throughout the world in the past wanted to explore Columbus, all Ponce de Leon, all the great people, all the great explorers of our past. If they hadn't had that urge to explore, it would have been a lot different. You agree? Don't you feel like, have you ever watched Star Trek? Don't you want to get out there and explore new galaxies, solar systems, to boldly go where no man has gone before, to seek out new life, to see what it looks like? Or what are you, a coward? There's an epidemic of cowardice on Earth, you know? No, not everybody is. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of brave people, especially here in the United States. The land of the free and the home of the brave. Yeah, well, it could be a little bit braver, you know? And there's a lot of beautiful people out there. Don't get me wrong. A lot of brave, beautiful people. But then there's a lot of cowardly people out there, too, who don't want to make contact with extraterrestrials. You get my point? And they're looking at us like, y'all could be in the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. And the other thing I was going to tell you about what they could do for us, they could help us cure diseases. Because you know what you guys are doing wrong? I'll tell you what you're doing wrong. This is what you're doing wrong. You're eating this. You shouldn't be eating that. You're doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. Cancer, heart disease, COVID, pneumonia, all these bad diseases. You know, they could help us cure them overnight. Guaranteed. I tell you no lie. That is the truth. If only we could make contact. But no, there's two people out there, they want to keep going with their jobs and raise their children and just live the same old, boring life day after day. And they're afraid, too, if they make contact with extraterrestrials, they probably faint and go unconscious and maybe die, you know, because they don't know that they're also God's children, you know. God created, the supreme creator of the universe, created all the life out there. Supreme creator, you're so awesome. We love you. I love you, supreme creator. You are just magnificent beyond comprehension. Your power, your omnipotent, your omniscient. How do you make something out of nothing? Tell me how to do it. I want to learn how you do that. It's like magic, you know. They've got Harry Potter movies here, God, but it's just a movie. It's not real, you know. I got to get away from movies. They're not real. They're people acting, people making money acting. That's not reality. And then they show an active shooter incident on television, on the news. That, my friends, is reality. If you're lost between fantasy and reality, you need to get back to reality. I'm the same way. You know, let's get back to reality and not fantasy, paying all these fantasy action officers who kill each other. John Wick, I mean, I love Keanu Reeves, and I like him to be blessed with a lot of money, but not, you know, because he plays an action hero who kills 112 people in a movie. What about those people that he killed in their lives and their wives, and maybe they had children, and maybe, you know, some deserve to be killed because they were killers themselves, but not everybody, you know what I'm saying? Fantasy versus reality. Hollywood, in order for the world to evolve to a higher level, Hollywood needs to raise its standard of movie to do away slowly but surely with fantasy and start giving us more real-life stories, people's day-to-day activities, the struggles that they face, how they overcome them, miracles in their life. Everybody has an angel, a guardian angel. That's the truth. We are spirits in the material world. Our spirits in the material world. My friends, we've got an election coming up. It's a very important election. They seem to get getting more and more important each and every day, you know? Well, each year that goes by, the stakes are higher, my friends, and this one in November is no exception, and in 2024 especially, you know. I said we get the more female leadership in there, you know. Recently, the new Prime Minister of England is a woman. Look at the protests that are going on in Iran right now. They treat women like dogs over there. They can't even wear the clothes they want to wear. They got to cover up their faces. They can't show their body parts like here in the United States. Why? Because the men are cowards. You know, not everyone is. There's an epidemic of cowardice there. More there than in the United States, if I offended anyone, okay? I'm just trying to raise our level of understanding about the things that are stopping us from making contact with extraterrestrials, you know. But the women who are protesting in Iran, I got to take a drink of water every once in a while, okay? Excuse me. Give me a few seconds. Women, the mothers of our children, my friends, mothers of our children, and they're treated like dogs. Does that make any sense to you? That is totally insane in the brain, crazy. Crazy, what's the definition of crazy? Is doing things which is against common sense. How can you have a mother like the leader, the grand leader of Iran, with his beard all manly and such, who had a mother that raised him, and then he turns his back on his mother and said, you can't wear these clothes, I'm telling you, or you can't drive a car, you can't do this, and you can't do that. Because us men, we feel insecure with you women, you know. Actually, my friends, a paternal society has failed. It has miserably failed all the wars we've had in our past. And we continue to be fighting to this day. Case in point, in Ukraine. Need I name all the wars that we've had in our recent past to you to show that a paternal society is not working? All these beautiful, usually sons, mothers' sons, go off to war. Like I heard a couple Russian mothers, you know, in this call-up of reservists in Russia, 300,000 to go fight in Ukraine, like cannon fodder, who don't really know how to fight, you know, and they're going to be joining battle-hardened troops there on the line, trying to kill Ukrainians who now are even more stronger than they were, and they have all these new weapons from the United States, and they're going to be cannon fodder, my friends. And that's why they're fleeing Russia by the droves. You saw on TV, the highways are full with cars trying to get out of Russia because they don't want to die in Ukraine fighting a needless war, an unnecessary war. Thank you, Mr. Putin. God, why don't you talk to Mr. Putin, God, please? Could you please speak to his heart and have him change his heart, God, please? That could be your will, God. I know everything in accordance with your will. But these mothers, they said, it was on TV, on CNN News. They said, why? So my son can go over there and kill other mother's sons. And going back to Iran, the mother of our children who had us in their bodies, in their wombs for 9 months, nurturing us, feeding us, even loving us as we were in their wombs. And then when we were born all that time ago, can you go back to the point of your birth, my friend? Can you remember? You should be able to. No, I'm just kidding. But really, our brains and our eyes are like tape recorders, you know? You can, I think through hypnosis, I've read that it's possible to go back to the point of your birth, and even beyond that, because you know that the heart starts beating at like 22 days, and the spirit can enter the baby's body anywhere from almost the point of conception. Usually they wait for the body to get big enough, you know, maybe after 6 weeks or so, until 9 months. At any point in between, the spirit can enter the baby's body. And then, of course, when we're born, our mothers raise us, they love us, they feed us, they breastfeed us, some do. They love us like no one else. They are our best friends. My mother was my best friend. She loved me with a love that I saw in my own eyes that was incomparable with anybody else. My dad loved me too, but in a different way. You know, can anybody relate? But my mother, I have a sister, but she was adopted. I love my sister, Eleanor. God, please bless Eleanor and keep her safe and well. She came along because the doctors told my mother she wasn't going to have any babies because she had some kind of pelvic injury and some pelvic abnormality. And so suddenly I came along. She was pregnant with me. And then suffice it to say that she loved me very much because she wasn't planning on having any babies. And of course, me being the baby I was, you know, being a highly advanced soul, I'm just kidding. I don't know if I am or not. I'm guessing I am, but I don't know for sure. Then she saw that I was a very loving boy. I've seen some videos when I was really young. Just a little whippersnapper, knee-high to a grasshopper, running around about 3 feet high, with a big head, with other boys with big heads. And we loved our mothers, didn't we not? Do we love our mothers out there, men? So how is it that women are treated like dogs in some countries, are treated unequally, and have been treated unequally, even here in the United States? We're given the right to vote until back in the 1920s. Weren't receiving equal jobs or equal pay until just recently. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because we're going through a process of evolution here on planet Earth. I've said this before in other shows. Planet Earth is a Category 1 planet on a scale of 1 to 9, 1 being the lowest on the evolutionary category, otherwise known as the planet of sorrows, because we're learning basic social values here in the University of the Universe. And unfortunately, ever since the beginning of time when Abel killed Cain, I can't remember which, what difference does it make, men have been killing each other. Why? Because they want what the other person has, money, a monetary system. Well, thank God we've survived all these years, right? We didn't kill each other off. That's outstanding. Thank you, God, for your help and for the prayers of all the God-loving, God-fearing people in the world. And there are so many decent, beautiful people everywhere, including the United States, especially the United States. You talk about a natural disaster somewhere in the world, where hundreds of people are wiped out, thousands, earthquake or whatever, floods, hurricanes, tornadoes. The United States is the first country there to look after everyone, make sure they got enough food and water. People in the United States, 80% of them at least, are outstanding, beautiful, incredibly wonderful, family-oriented, decent people. All of them. About 20% are the thugs, the bullies, the dictators, tyrants. Well, we just have to pray for everybody. Just like Jesus said, we need to pray for our enemies. So I pray for everybody. Remember I said that at the beginning? This is what God told Lou Famoso. Read it. Check it out on the internet. Let me see if I can say, before I sing another song, what God said in God's deepest voice. But you know, when God speaks, it's like, I was watching a Metallica concert last night on TV, on a YouTube video. And, you know, I love Metallica. They are the quintessential heavy metal band, rock and roll band. And they always sell out wherever they go and have been for the last 40 years, at least. I saw them back in 1983 in Germany when I was assigned there. And they get their audience to participate. So every once in a while, he'll ask the crowd to sing. And you ever heard a crowd sing like, and nothing else matters. Remember that song? Nothing else matters. So close, no matter how far. Couldn't be much more from the heart. Forever trust in who we are. And nothing else matters. Anyway, you hear like 50,000 people sing. Maybe that's what God's voice sounds like, you know? But I've heard other things from people saying it's like a rushing of water. It's not either loud nor soft. It's all-encompassing. But it might have sounded something like this. I might take a drink of water first. Just so you and I will remember to do this, okay? Man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. Do you like that? So anyway, God. And that's just probably our mother and father God in heaven, you know, because we are co-creator gods in the making, my friend. Through the process of reincarnation, after we die on this world, on this planet, we'll go to heaven and hang out there for a while, enjoy the company, do some research in all those buildings there, and they have all kinds of things going on in heaven, you know, lectures by famous people throughout our past. Auditoriums are filled with people who come to listen to these great people of our past. You can be one too. I guarantee you, I'm going to be a speaker in heaven on someday in the future. And you can come and listen to me, because now I get my practice with my radio show and BBS Radio for my future, and I don't want to die. Don't get me wrong, you know, I'm enjoying the ride. I'm talking maybe, barring any unforeseen circumstances, you know, like natural disasters or some kind of war that would wipe everybody out. God forbid. God, please, don't let that happen. Please, God, that wouldn't be good for our eternal souls. Let it be a natural disaster instead. But I love this life, and I want to live to be another, I want to live another 30, 40 years. I want to live to be 100, if possible. Why? Because this world doesn't get me down, you know. I made it through the hard times. I didn't throw in the towel. I was talking about suicide. It's not a good thing. I got sidetracked, didn't I, a little bit. I was talking about, but it's okay to change the subject because it's kind of boring otherwise, you know. If I was to follow something, some notes that I had, that's too boring for me. I like something that's extemporaneous, you know, where you can think on your feet. But suffice it to say, read the book Beyond the Darkness. Beyond the Darkness. If you want to know about suicide and why you shouldn't do it and why your friends that are contemplating suicide shouldn't do it, read that book, please. Beyond the Darkness. I've read it many times. I even communicated with the author by email. She was so engrossed in writing a second book, she didn't have much time to talk with me, suffice it to say. But you're going to go, if you commit suicide, a person goes to a place like purgatory, where there's time out, there's no love, there's no light, there's no hope, only despair, no happiness, no joy. You can just repetitively mumble nonsensical things. You're with people just like you that committed suicide, people mumbling around, why did I do that? If I only could have done this, if I only should have done that. And then you're fenced in by black matter and black dark energy and dark matter. So it's like a jail. And you spend your time there. It's like, it's not eternal damnation, okay? I'm not one of those people who didn't really think it through. They just tried to manipulate you, take advantage of you, dominate you with this eternal damnation nonsense, which isn't true, because they don't know for sure anyway, right? Unless they were there. But as far as eternal damnation, no way, my friends. Take it from Blake, okay? In the Church of the Soul's Evolution, we don't talk about unforgiveness. And especially a son or daughter of yours who you're going to condemn to eternal damnation because they were disobedient, because they didn't do the right thing, because they made some mistakes. You're going to condemn them for eternity? Really? Now, that's something maybe a human being that lived 500 years ago might think, but not of modern day and age. No offense to you, you know, but if you're listening to my show, I'm going to burst your bubble, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell it like it is. I'm going to shake your faith. So that's how you're going to learn. You know, religion is a stepping stone, my friends, to where you need to go spiritually. And you can do it. You got a lot of people, all the relatives that you've got in heaven who are supporting you, angels, your own guardian angel. If you pray to Jesus, he's there supporting you. You want to pray to our mother and father God. And don't you know that Father God wants a woman by his side? Doesn't any male, real male, I'm not talking about homosexuals, you know, that have a spirit of the opposite gender in their body. I'm talking about a man who wants a woman by his side. Don't get me wrong about homosexuals. I love them. Transgender, too. I just understand it's a very difficult thing for them to come, a male spirit inside a female body or a female spirit inside a male body, you know. They do that for various reasons, usually associated with karma. But don't you know that Father God loves his beautiful wife, his soulmate? Don't you know that he wants to have sex in heaven and create more spirit children like he created you? Like he created me? Yeah, they have sex in heaven. It's a different kind of way of doing it. It's called merging of the spirit. Read Sylvia Brown's book. The late, great Sylvia Brown was a psychic medium, very well known. She said that she had a spirit guide that she was in constant communication with who had lived back in the 15th century. Anyway, she passed away like 10 years ago, but she wrote a book, Conversations with the Other Side. And she said, I read that book, we merge. We don't do the humpity pumps kind of thing, you know, reproduce like we do here on Earth. It's a melding, a merging of the spirit. And so you hug each other, orgasms for like 7 minutes. Imagine that. So Father God has a companion, you know, a Mother God. She and him create children, their souls and their spirits, and they create planets. They created the planets in our solar system and the moons. The solar system is their creation. Did you know there's actually water on the sun? I know that one might have got you laughing a little bit or surprised you, but now what I'm trying to say is that planet Earth is made of physical matter. Let me explain it briefly before you go off half-cocked, okay? Water, like anything else on Earth, is made of physical matter. But all physical matter, at its inception, is spiritual matter. And you'll see when you go to heaven that everything there is made of spirit matter. And everything here on Earth came from spirit matter. The trees that you see initially were spirit matter. Spirit matter is what you need to create physical matter. So even water, you'll see oceans and seas, the throne room of God, the river of life. Come on now. Water in heaven, did you forget that? I did. But did you forget it also, the river of life in heaven, all you Christians out there? There is a river of life in heaven. They say it goes through the throne room of God, the Mother and Father God. Okay, let's get away from this God singular, Father God. There is a Mother God. The more intelligent people realize that, you know, the more evolved people who have lived more past lives. I was saying also, going back to what I said before, we reincarnate. And there's all kinds of buildings in heaven. You'll see all kinds of buildings besides the auditoriums, the libraries, the halls of justice, all these beautifully sculptured architectural buildings from Greek architecture and Roman architecture. You'll see them all in heaven. And one day we'll go there and all the streets paved in gold, fountains, they'll have feasts all the time. The fields, I don't know about, I don't think they eat meat in heaven, but let me take a drink of water. But I hear they have fish in the oceans and rivers, seas and lakes. There's no need to eat meat in heaven because you don't need protein to grow your physical body, your spirit. But you can eat. You can eat bread and fruit, especially fruit. Anyway, my time's up, my friends. Thank you for listening to my show. I'll be back next week, God willing. In the meantime, may the Creator of the universe and our Mother and Father God in heaven bless us and help us in any way we need it. I love you. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.